you are taking that.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Sister wants an email.
Absolutely.
I have more water, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Good evening. We just read, Parshas Vayishlach. I mean, everyone knows it's from the Shlach Harish, but it's become well known in the course of the centuries that Yaakov Avinu, he went back for his pachim ketanim, and that's a remez to Hanukkah. That was a precursor for the pach shemen. So it says after that, Vatika Kaf Yerech Yaakov, when he struggled with the angel, so the angel pulled out his leg. and that's why we have the Isser of Gidan Noshe, right, prohibition to eat from the Gidan Noshe, because that symbolizes, as it were, where they hit us. Right. Now there's something very interesting about that. The Gemara says in Brachas, Hani Birki Rabban, the Shalhi Minayuhu, that the Talmidei Chachaim, they get weak in the legs. They feel weak in the legs, and that's from the Shadim, right, the demons. You know, they attack in the legs. Right. And this all has its roots, back in Eden, when after the Nachash caused Adam and Chava to succumb. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has now explained the way it's going to be, for generations. Hu yeshuf charosh v'ata teshufenu akev. Man will kill you by the head, you're going to get him at the heel. Right, that the legs are always, and we're going to discuss this, tonight. The legs have always been where we're supposedly vulnerable. Right? And it's ever since the original sin. Vata teshufenu akev, and that's why Vatika kaf yerech Yaakov. And we have to, we'll discuss that a little bit more deeply, but it's very interesting that when Chazal coined the halachas of Ner Chanukah, so they set the shear, that the shear of how long the Chanukah candles have to burn, they said something a little bit ambiguous. It says, Mishatishka chama ad shetichle regel min hashuk. Right? It's from the time the sun goes down, machlokas, whether it means the first shkia or tzeis kochavim, but it's ad shetichle rego min hashuk, so there's no more legs in the marketplace. It could have, if not for the Rishonim, we wouldn't have any clue. Really. The Rishonim say it's about a half an hour. Now, first of all, halachically speaking, having left it open that way without specifying chatzi shah, just saying ad shetichle rego min hashuk, it's a interesting anecdote. The Brisker Rav in Eretz Yisrael lived on Rehov Press, and right across the street from him was the well-known and notorious Edison Theater, movie theater. Now that, I don't know what happened over there. That movie theater has survived being across the street from the Brisker Rav and survived being vandalized by the Haredim for decades. And it's still only closed in relatively recent history. It survived. It was like a movie theater in Geula, and it just They held out. It's like there was something. The guy who owned it must have had schus avos or something. You thought it had been torched many times over. So the Briskarov's house is directly across the street from the Edison Theater. So he once asked Tomvis, find out when the last movie is. Right? When's the late show? When is that over? Briskarov. Briskarov, movies, mom. He said, no. I need to know when people will be leaving the movie theater at the end of the last showing. For me, that's Ad Shetichle Rego Min Hashuk. I need to have my Hanukkah candles burning until then. As Chazal never said exactly after. I said, until there's no more feed in the marketplace. That's, for me, that's whenever the last showing is over at the Edison Theater. in all seriousness, that could be another basis, aside from the fact that we light indoors, it could be another basis that now the work day has gotten longer, that you, atchitich regel min hashuk, the Chazal never said it half an hour. Back then, it worked out a half an hour, because you can't do business in the dark. So they lingered in the marketplace for another half an hour, while there's still a little bit of light. but it'd be a menu that the work day is, until, and whenever it gets so, it's another halachic basis to light when people get home from work. But it's very interesting. They made it contingent on two things: the marketplace, and they also called it, you know, when there are no more legs in the marketplace. That's a architectural regel. It's something which needs to be understood. You know, the Ramchal tells us in the in his Kuntres Derech Eitz Chaim, that which the Mishnah says about Chazal, Kol Divrem Kegachal Le'esh, whatever they say is like coals. Well, he says, when you blow on a coal, the more you blow on it, it flares up and you see a lot of different colors. It's also that way in any word in Chazal. The more you analyze it, you'll see colors. And Kol Divrem Gachal Le'esh, so if they coined the halacha in Ad Shetichle Regel Min Ashuk, right, there's got to be something there. Now, we know the Yevonim, they're most, you know, aside from what they decreed on the Jewish people, they defiled the Beis HaMikdash, right? And over there, the Timu Kol Hashmanim. So the Beis HaMikdash has a dual function. There's, and the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs brings both ideas. It's not just a place where you do the karbonis. There's another halacha that for which you have to be mekayim the mitzvah asuli mikdash v'shachanti besocham. You have to build it also because it's aliyah laregel. Right? It's its own function, and it is entirely possible. I'm not paskel ochel amasa. There are those that hold that there's a chiyuv of aliyah laregel bizman hazeh. It's independent of the fact whether there are karbonis happening there or not. You know, we have a different problem. We can't go in because we're tamei meis. But it's its own aliyah laregel is its own truth. It's like I said, there are poskim that hold even bisman hazeh. If there's no karbonis going on over there, you would go. And of course, chassidim v'anshei maisa try to go to the kosel maravi on the yomim tovim. Right? It's amazing. Something to think about. The Beis Hamikdash has it's its own function. It's its own truth. Aliyah laregel. You know, you could build the Beis Hamikdash. It says in the Sefer Mitzvah, you build it for the Karbonis, and you build it to be Oila Larego. It's its own function. It's another function of the Beis Hamikdash, Aliya Larego. Right? And have you ever wondered? It's a very strange lotion, Aliya Larego. Elevation of the legs. You know, it's a raglaim. The function of Beis Hamikdash is, you know. And the Pasuk says, Omdos Hoyu Ragleinu. Bishorayach, Yerushalayim. Our legs stood in your gates, Jerusalem. It's hello, Davaru. It's something to really look to and to understand. All right, but there's another thing. It's not just the rego, there's the shuk. Architech the rego min hashuk. Could have said rego barachov. Doesn't say it. It says rego bashuk. So now, everyone knows that Hanukkah has to do with, you know, the victory of the Torah culture over the Hellenistic culture. It's a Chag of Torah. Right? right, and Torah in general is called Or, Ki Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. And we're going to break that down also. What's the difference between Ner and Or, Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. But there's a Chag that's all about Torah. Right, and that's Chag HaShavuos. And in the sugya on Simchas Yom Tov, Rav Yosef, you know, his favorite Chag was Shavuos. And he says, Hochem li igla tilta, ilav ahu yomad kogorim, kama Yosef ika b'shuka. He says, apparently igla tilta is the finest meat. There is, because if not for that day, there's a lot of Yosef in the marketplace. I mean, I wouldn't have been any better than any other Joe. Yes, what's he say? He could have said, Kama Yosef, there's plenty of people, Joe, you know, and but I'm a Talmud Chacham because there is such a thing as Torah. You know, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. It's a lot of people, Yosef in the Shuk. Right? There's these two aspects over here. There's regal and shuk, right? The legs and the marketplace. Right? And they have what to do with Torah. They have what to do with Hanukkah in particular. Right. What do you need a market for?
Buy and sell.
Buy and sell. Now, what do you need to buy and sell for? It's all because of Chet Adam Rishon. It's actually the Ribon Shel Olam Berov Chasdo, right? Gave us as a countermeasure. Shuk is a countermeasure for the results of the sin of Adam. Matter of fact, it said in this week's Parsha that Yaakov Vinu, when he bought, in Shechem, he was metaklem shvokim. He set up marketplaces for them. Right? He set up commercial centers as part of improving the area. Because after the sin, so Akarshu says b'zeh pecha tochal lechem, and that's just food. That's just to survive, right? You're going to work hard just for food. But you also have to wear clothes, right? And you're going to have to also live indoors, right? If one person would have to do it all, no one would survive. No one would survive. So the Eitzah that there is as a retro measure, right, to somewhat mitigate the results of the sin is the marketplace. That's why we do commerce. Because I only have to do one thing. And I could exchange that one thing that I do for the things that I need. That's what you do at a shuk. It's what makes it possible, right, for people to survive. Right? It's really the reason why they invented money. Right? Because the barter system is a little bit cumbersome. The barter system is a little bit cumbersome, so they invented money, it accelerates the, because money is easily exchangeable for something else, because otherwise they want us to bring their goods one place, but get money, then you could transport the money. And it's very interesting. The Pasuk says, by Dasan Va'aviram, in Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is recapping. Remember what happened in Dasan Va'aviram, that the ground set up? Right. Husham ves batem ves hayikum asher beragleihem. The ground also swallowed up the yikum asher beragleihem. Says Chazal, Rashi brings it. Zeha moment shema mido al raglov. Yikum asher beragleihem is the money, because that's what helps you stand on your feet. Right. The idea of standing on your feet has two different meanings, as we're going to explain, even in biblical Hebrew. Right, there is a standing on feet, as in you don't collapse, as opposed to collapse. Im amarti mata ragli, chastacha Hashem yisadeni. If I say I'll collapse, HaKadosh Chesed supports me. There's standing as opposed to collapse. Right, and of course there's a standing of in, as in having a ma'amad. Right, as in like, Mi aleh b'har Hashem u'mi yokum b'mkom kotsho, right, standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having like ma'amad, having status, having standing. Right, but what we're talking about right now, that the money causes it is yokum, it helps a person be on his feet in the most simplest meaning. We'd collapse without it, right? And the money is only worth something in the market. Right? Money has no intrinsic value. Right. You don't go and buy money. You don't buy money. It's not a product that does anything around that. Money is really it's tokens to use in the marketplace. That's its function. It has no value onto its own other than it's something to easily circulate around the marketplace, and that's to keep us going. That we don't collapse. Right, So it's called Ma'amido al Raglov, right? That money keeps you on your feet, right? That means on your feet in the sense that the opposite thereof is that you, God forbid, you collapse. It's called Mata Ragli, right? You stumble, your legs give way. So it's called survival. But as in Eden. Right, if we have never left the Garden of Eden, so we would have never developed the marketplace. Right? It was developed out of necessity. So in Eden, there will be no commerce, right? Because everything grows on trees, right? And Just reach out and pick it off the tree. Whatever you needed. Whatever you needed grew there. Right? So the marketplace wouldn't have, you know, existed. Now, industry wouldn't have existed. Right? Because what do you need it for? Right? Don't need agriculture because everything grew easily. It wasn't kotz v'dara tatzmiach lach, and you didn't need clothes and everything else that you might have needed, you know, for your sustenance grows on trees. But now here's the catch. Right? If you live in an environment, right, where all your needs are readily available, do you have to go anywhere?
No.
No. So you don't need legs either. You don't need legs either.
Oh, you gotta walk
out of your house. No, you don't. Right. They didn't live in houses. They lived in Eden. They lived outdoors. Optimal weather all the time. No one would have to go to Florida. No. It's something to really think about. We need legs, right? Because we have to either avoid danger, got to run away from danger, right? Or we're missing something and we got to go to procure it. Which means if you live in a non-hostile environment where all your needs are satisfied, you really don't have to go anywhere, right? It's something amazing to think about. And you have to wonder what the function of legs would have been. You know, if not for the fact that we have to run around because we have all these different needs, and these different needs are not all in one place. Right? No, so you need your legs to go to the marketplace. Right? And that's so interesting enough, the Zohar says, you know, something to contemplate, that it says the raglin are bar migufa, your legs are actually outside of your body. Meaning to say, yeah, I know it's hard to relate to, but Zohar says really that the body ends at the torso, right? The raglam called the bar migufa, outside of the body, right? It's not part of the main body, as it were. And, you know, of course, a person without it is blemish, but, you know, you have to understand what the Zohar means, right? But the idea is as follows, right? So our legs got a much, much greater role because of Chet Adam Rishon, right? We got to run around. We got to run around because the world became a hostile environment. You know, it's hostile. You know, people fight, but hostile. It's not friendly in a sense. It's not easy to get anything you want. It's you know, there's the elements are not easy to work with. You gotta move around. Got to run away from danger, and you got to run towards what you need. So it comes out that really the legs and the marketplace have the same shorish. Sense that the need to move and the market are really, you know, from the same root. And it goes deeper than that. You know what the essence of the market is? Movement. Do I have to explain that? The merchandise has got to move, right? The merchandise can't sit still. You know, it's got to be moving so you can exchange. Arba mil shekel kesef over la socher, says Unklus, that Avraham gave him the best money. It's over la socher. It could go anywhere. That's why money is also called zuzin. It's zaz. It moves. Right? The market is all about movement. That's right. That's right. It has to be in circulation. All right, but it's a very sobering thought, you know, because why is that? It's got to constantly be moving. If it's not moving, it's worthless. Because that means that nothing has innate intrinsic value. It's only as good as what it could be exchanged for. That's an amazing thing. It's only as good as what you could, right? So, you know, as the Altar of Novartek used to say, the unfortunate situation of this world, people have what they don't want, and they want what they don't have. And that's the principle of the market. What I bring to the market is not what I want, it's what I want to get rid of. Right? It's an amazing thing. You want to keep things in circulation. Right? But what that statement is really saying is that, you know, nothing is of real innate value. It's only as good as what you could get in exchange for it. So that means if it had its own value, you wouldn't want to sell it. And you say what Shlomo says, Emes Kne Va'al Timkor. acquire truth, but don't sell it. You know, emes is the one thing that has intrinsic value. So you buy it, but you don't sell it. Everything else, you know, if you buy it, don't buy something you can't sell. If something you can't sell is worthless. Which means that, you know, it's all the marketplace, where the market, as it were, is the golem that rebelled against its creator. It was developed by mankind as a way to survive, you know, the accursed state of the earth because of Chet Adam Rishon, and it was just meant to be, ideally, for, you know, getting your basic needs, right? It was supposed to be just a means, as it were, as we said, umamido ra, to put you on your feet, that you don't, in a sense, that you don't collapse. But what happened in the course of the generations? It became like not the means, it became the goal, the career, right? Instead of just like being ma'amido al raglav in the sense, right, that it's it'll allow you to survive, it became status. It became, you know, what are you? I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. You know, right? In a world that no one gets sick, what's the value of a doctor? And in a world where no one gets sued, right, what's the value of the lawyer? Right? Yeah. Right. It's a horrible realization. But we don't. That becomes a whole person's whole pride and whole glory. Right? That the market becomes like not a means. It becomes the goal. Right? And it's sort of it's as if your legs take over your head. That's what it's like. The legs were there just to get you where you need to be because you don't have everything you need in one place, right? And, you know, and so it's supposed to be there to serve the body. That's what the Zohar means. The legs are really outside of the body. They're in service of the body. They're purely in service, right? A person's constructive activity, Chazal called ma'aseh yadayim. Constructive activity is what you do with your hands. We don't do anything constructive with our legs. Right, earnings are called ma'aseh yadayim. Handiwork, ma'aseh yadai lispoer, ma'aseh yadav magid harakia. Right, we do the fine arts. You know, which there was room to do that even in Eden. Right, to do things to improve the world. That you do with your. That's what you do with your hands. That's all you do with your legs. Your legs is purely for the purpose of motion. And if everything would be good where you are, you wouldn't have to go anywhere else. Right, just like if you had all your needs, you wouldn't have to develop a market. And it's and the market and the legs, they come from the same root and they run on the same principle. Got to keep things moving, right? Merchandise that doesn't move is worthless. Right? But when you realize that, you're talking about that there's no intrinsic value because that intrinsic value, you wouldn't have to sell it. You could keep it. The Muslim doesn't have intrinsic value. Right? You know, and this is what Chazal say in a few places, that, you know, Torah, you know, is the best schira. He made it a saying in Yiddish. It's based on a Chazal, you know, that because Torah is of innate value, right? And it's not valuable because you have customers for it, right? And that's an amazing thing about markets. Say, is there a market for it? What do you mean by that? Is there a market for it? Are people demanding it? And then people demand the strangest things. You know, it just, you could convince people that, and then they demand it, and that becomes valuable because people think they need it. They don't really need it. No thing is, yeah, that's the problem with the, so every once in a while in the stock market, you know, or in the futures market, someone wakes up and says, all this stuff is worthless anyway, and that's when the market slumps, you know. And then people go back to sleep, and the market, you know, picks up again, right? You know, So now but going back to the legs, so we'll talk about the market and talk a little bit more about the legs. That we find the term leg, raglayim, right, in two other usages, right, and royally is bonim bazeh. There's first of all the term hergel, habit, right. The root of the word is regel. And then there is also the, you know, by miragil, a spy. Right? And it's mamish that way. Like the pasuk says of lo rogal al lashono, kapitel tetzayin. Right? Person never speaks bad of anyone else. There's lo regal al lashono. Talk about having your foot in your mouth. Lo regal al lashono. Right? What's going on? What do these things have to do with the legs? All right. You will, going back to the difference between arms and legs, right? That with, you know, the fine arts are done with the arms. That, fine arts, achievement, it's all called ma'ase yadayim, throughout Tanakh and throughout Chazal. Right? There's something very interesting about the, right? Your arms, you know, more often than not, you know, the people have some nervous, you know, fidgeting. But by and large, you know, the motions of your hand are a direct command, conscious command. You know, the hands express thought, you know, in your artwork or whatever, you know, fine labor that requires thinking, you know. And some people may have nervous twitches, but by and large, people, you know, their arm is moving in response to a conscious command from the mind. If you had to think every time you took a step, you would get nowhere, nowhere very fast. Right? If you had to think every time you had to take a step. Right? The amazing thing about legs, they run on automatic pilot. You don't need to, you know, don't have to consciously think. And that's why in Lashon HaKodesh it got adopted for habit, hergel, right? You could do it with, it's what you do without thinking. It runs like the leg, just runs, just moves. Right? Now the truth is, you know, a person should not, ideally, not speak a single word unless he really has to. Right? The Nefesh HaChaim says in his Pirush on Ovis, that a person should, you know, you have to train your mind to do this. I can't do it, but you're supposed to do it. You should really think 10 times before any word you leaves your mouth with. You really must say that word or not. Why? Because, you know, speech should be an expression of intelligence. You know, speech is a power that we get for our neshama. So speech should be very, very, you should not say anything. And the Rambam also brings in Hilchos Deos, don't say anything unless it's intelligent. Unless it's intelligent or necessary to say. Otherwise, you know, otherwise you're defiling your speech. Where Lashon Hara starts from, the Isser of Lo Selech Rochil Ba'amecha, Rochil is like, just don't stomp talk. Don't stomp talk. It starts from, you know, just speaking without thinking first, and then it just degenerates to start saying things that you should never say. Right? But where it starts from speaking without thinking. Right? That, you know, you just speak, you know, hergel, you know, just like how you could go with your legs without thinking. Right? But, you know, what were legs meant to be? You know, they say, that, you know, because of the chet of Arul, we need to use our legs a lot. You got to run around, as they say, the rat race. You got to move, right? The legs are from the same shorsh as the marketplace. It's all about, you know, you got to move and, right? And in Eden, where you didn't have anywhere to go. And in, what were legs for? So over there is the concept of legs was purely to give cover to the human being, purely to give cover to the human being, in the sense that the legs make it as such that our heads point upwards, as opposed to animals where their heads go sideways, they're on all fours. Right? It symbolizes that the Adam, with his intellect, you know, reaches heavenwards. Right? You know, it shows that we have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's for the glory of the human being. Right, to give him status, standing in the honorable sense. Right, we're not supposed to put these things to use to survive. That's because of the head of Adam Rishon. But the riddle is that man was to stand erect. Right, out of the covet that, you know, man is like, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representative on earth. It's purely there for, you know, to give standing, like to give honor to the person. And again, another expression of why explaining another angle on that Zohar, that raglaim are lebar migufa. The legs are outside of the body. They're there to honor, give honor to the body. They're there to give honor to the body. So it's like, you know, it's a word, it's subservient, right? To make you able to stand upright. All right. So there was another creature that stood upright in Eden. Sides of Yoda. Right? The Nachash. The Nachash stood upright. He had legs also. And it is an amazing thing. Right? He, you know, he tried to sell Adam HaRishon on a story, right, that you could rebel against God and be your own God. V'isem kelokim, right, according to one shot, you'll be like God. You could have to create your own world, right? Like you're a big guy, right? Tried to talk Adam HaRishon into this idea that he could usurp HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we stand erect for the purpose of being godlike, to give cover to the Tzelem Elokim. He said, you know, use that to rebel. Right? And that's why Mida Keneged Mida, the Nachash lost his legs. Mm-hmm. Right? But and ever since then, you know, the depth of what Chazal mean, Sheker Ein Lo Raglayim. Sheker Ein Lo Raglayim, right? Kushta Koi, Sheker Lo Koi, truth stanza, right? Sheker Ein Lo Raglayim, it refers to the snake, lost its legs, right? And that's why there's the adversity. He's so jealous of our legs. Vata Teshufenu Akev. That's what the Goyen says that. He's jealous of our legs. That's why he gets us in the legs, right? The idea of the legs is to give the Adam standing, right? To be mechabed the Tzelem Elokim, but the Adam's covet is that his head is pointed upwards, and that is that he uses his intellect to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Eitz Hadas Tovara, that type of intelligence, to give a different type of mentality that would, you know, cut God out of things. Right? And that's what the Nachash tried to sell. And that's why the Gemara says in Baba Kama, that's Gemara Baba Kama. No, the Gemara Baba Kama says that a person's shedra, person's backbone, you know, which only stands straight because of the legs, right? A person's backbone after 7 years, you know, by the Roshoyim, becomes a snake. So Tosis over there comments and Shtel Tzu, you know, the a Gemara in Brachas, you know, since like Gemara that the that a person who doesn't bow by modim, right, a person who doesn't bow by modim, anachdulach. That's the person whose spine becomes a snake, right? Because by modim we have to make a tikkun for what the snake was machshulas. We have to admit modim anachdulach. We admit to Hashem shahato shalkenu tzur chayenu mage. Everything comes from you. Right? It's to undo. We have to like bow. We have to collapse ourselves. And not stand erect, you know, in bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't, your spine turns into a snake. Because he's the one who taught us, you know, got us to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that the Yoram took his chashivas as he doesn't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the function of legs was, you know, to give chashivas to the human being. Which means that the legs were there to be like a base, you know, to be a pedestal. And we're on that pedestal. Right? And that's also the model, the cosmic model of Gashmias and Ruchnias. The real model, if you could take a look at the reality from the outside, what reality is supposed to look b'tikuno, is that the Gashmias is a pedestal that the Ruchnias is honored by. It's a pedestal that the Ruchnias is on top of. Right? It's a base. But the base is there to honor what's on top of it. And the legs are there to honor the human, to honor the Tzelem Elokim. And the Gashmis is there to be, you know, we use our legs to touch earth. The Gashmis is supposed to be a pedestal for Ruchnias. Right. Right. And then in the halachas of Hilchos Muktzah, right, there's something called Bosis L'davar Aser. Right? If you put muksa consciously on a surface, that surface should be a base for muksa consciously, right? That base, let's say, even though it's a table or it's a pedestal, it becomes as muksa as whatever you put on it, because it's bottle to it. It's there to serve. If it serves the muksa, then it's only as good as the muksa. That's a din of basis l'davar asur. That means, consciously. That's why for those who put the, you put the Shabbos candles on the table. For those, they also make sure to put something else on the table. The table shouldn't just be serving the candles, because then the table becomes as muksa as the candles. As that's, for those who put Shabbos candles on the table, they might also make sure before Shabbos comes in, put the chalas on the table. Also, that the table shouldn't just be a basis in service of the candles. Because if you're in service of something, you're tuffel to it. Right? And that's what the legs are supposed to be for the human being. In service of the human being, to honor him. Right? And that's what Gashmi is supposed to be for Ruchnias. Right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzaveh on Aliyah Larego. That's an amazing thing. Right, the Aliyah Larego is also part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to, somewhat, right, get out of the rat race that we're in as a result of Chet Adam HaRishon. So aside, it's not enough, right, to just desist from Malacha. That's good, you're still, living in that world. Right, and Aliyah Larego was to actually get out, right? Get out of the world of legs, because the marketplace is just legs. Right? It's just legs. It's the world of legs where the legs are dominant. The world where the marketplace is, the career is everything. That's like living in a world where the legs now are the main thing, right? And your head is in service of your legs, right? How to run around and how to make more money, right? So instead of the legs serving the head, right, the head is now, you have your head in your legs. That's what it is. A person whose whole life is his parnasa, right? So he has his head in his legs. That's what it is. And so let's go to Rav Yosef, and then we're going to go to Aliyah Larego, and then we'll get back to Hanukkah, I promise. Right? We're taking the scenic route getting there, right? They have seen a group, right? What Rav Yosef was saying, Ilav ahu yomed kagarim kama Yosef ika b'shuka. Now, he wasn't meaning to say that, Torah made me better than the next guy. Because, Rav Yosef, he was the Rosh Yeshiva, in Bavel. He didn't get that job by protexia. It was a different world back then. He really was good, right? He was really well. So it means if he would have gone into medicine, probably would have been the best doctor. If he would have gone into law, he probably would have been the best lawyer. But that's not what he wanted. Ilav v'kar kama yosi kabashuk, it got me out of the marketplace. It got me out of the shuk. Right? All right. Torah is of innate value. Everything you have that's marketable. The very fact that it's marketable means it's not, that in itself implies it has no innate value. It means you could exchange it for something else. Right? It's marketable means it moves. You could move it. Like raglaim, you could move it. Right? So with innate value, you don't want to move, you want to keep. Right? And that's our Torah and our mitzvahs. Right? Our Torah, we learned in Derech Hashem. Our Torah and mitzvahs, we don't exchange for Olam Haba. That's not true. We learned. It's not. Our Torah and mitzvahs become our Olam Haba. Right, we never part from our Torah mitzvahs; they are our chelk olam haba. We don't exchange them, for olam haba. We don't buy olam haba with our Torah mitzvahs. Our Torah mitzvahs are our olam haba; they are with us wherever we go. Right, they're of innate value; they're of eternal value, and you never sell it. God forbid. By the way, that which is in our folklore, you want to buy my olam haba, you want to buy my mitzvah, it's all baloney. Right? You can't sell olam, you can't even if you want to, you can't sell it. But hear what the poskim say. Right? The poskim actually have paskin the shah. If a person comes and wants to sell you a mitzvah or sell you an olam haba, so they say, right? Hamocher, they coined a very poetic lashon. Hamocher yit atzev va'kone al yismach. Let the seller be really sad, but let the buyer not be happy, right? All right, because you can't buy someone else's olam haba. It's not a sale. It's a partnership in the learning, right? As I was going to explain, it's not something that you could sell. You know, it's not a movable object. It's a reality. You can't sell a reality. Without getting into all the, but he said, but if a person was so idiotic that he wants to part with it for money for something passing, he lost it. If you don't value it, you lose it. So the seller lost his olam haba for selling it. He lost the buyer didn't gain anything. They're not sellable. But the seller did lose it. If you're so mizalz in your olam haba, you don't deserve it. So you lose it as a knas. So that's what Rebbe Yisrael was saying. It got me out of the marketplace. Torah is of innate and inherent value. It's not saying it's marketable that I could exchange or I could sucker someone into taking. It is a value. Got me out of the shuk altogether. So Aliyah LaRegel, understand what you are, and it's its own truth about the Beis HaMikdash. And it's something that the Yevonim knew, and that's why they wanted to defile the Beis HaMikdash. One of the functions of the Beis HaMikdash is Aliyah LaRegel, whether there's Karbonos going on or not, it seems from the Halacha. Even if, God forbid, even Bizman HaChorban, those who hold there's still a din of Aliyah LaRegel, if you could go. Right? Because it's all about getting out of the world. The marketplace. The marketplace is not a place of a head. It's a place of feet. There are only feet in the marketplace. It's just a rat race. Right? It's about Aliyah LaRegel, raising the legs, right? Getting out of that, because the marketplace is feet. It's not heads. Right? And you get, raise up your feet, and then you come to the Makkah that Omdos Hayu Ragleinu Bishorayach Yerushalayim. That's called to have real standing, right? Because now, the legs are not there as an ikker, the running around of the career. Now you're standing, you're standing as a Tzelmo Kim in the gates of Yerushalayim. And Chazal darshan this al pi drush, that mi goram l'ragleinu sheyamdu b'milchama share Yerushalayim she'oskim b'torah, who causes our feet to stand, that Am Yisrael is victorious in battle, the Shari Yerushalayim that were Isaac and Torah. So Shari Yerushalayim, Makom HaMikdash, also represents the Torah. Right? It's a Vineva, gives you standing, and it's not just Stam, so it makes you invincible. It's like, puts you on a whole nother level, like Vayisa Elyon, the Pasuk says. You'd be above, above all your enemies. Puts us, on a standing on a high level. What legs are supposed to be, it's supposed to be a pedestal to honor the human being. We get that when we're Ole Larego. When we're Olego, we stand in the Beit HaMikdash, we stand Lifnei Hashem, and when we stand Lifnei Hashem, we're out of the Shuk. And that's what Aliyah LaRegel is about. Get out of the Shuk. It's not just start to take a day off. You have to be out of that whole reality. You're out of the world of Chet Adam Arishon. And you're in God's world. It's like you're back in Eden. The Yevonim, right? They invented something. They weren't the first. You have to understand what the whole issue of the Yevonim in general was, and Hellenism in particular. They didn't invent astronomy and mathematics. The Babylonians and the Egyptians before them. Plenty of math, plenty of astronomy, plenty of their own thinking. They weren't the first people to think, right? But I'll tell you where they cranked it up to another level. They made it culture. Now, what's the idea of culture? Right. Culture is as if I'm a better human being than you are because I have this and you don't. I'm cultured. You're an uncultured barbarian. Right. Yeah. They were the first to get the idea of, that... These things that were developed, for survival, and whatever human needs to work, they made it into what's called culture, right? And that means as if it's something of its own innate value, as if because mathematics and physics and all types of sciences that we wouldn't have had much impetus to develop these things if all our needs were seen to automatically by God, right? Right? They decided that if you understand these things, you know these things, so your consciousness becomes immortal, as opposed to the unschooled person. They believed, you know, his consciousness will die with him, right? Only when a person learns, you know, things like mathematics or anything that's a truth, so the consciousness is, as it were, elevated because it's connected to ideas, and that's why it'll live on. And speaking that as if, you know, with this, you know, there's more chashivas to the human being, right? And all these things, you know, have their place in vis-a-vis, you know, ensuring our survival, right? As you know, because you know, we have the difficulties of the world of Chet Adam Rishon, you know, and these things could also have their place if there would be a pedestal that you put the Torah on top of, like the famous saying of the Vilna Gaon, you know, to whatever extent a person is lacking in the sciences, to that extent he lacks even tenfold in Torah. But that's, of course, if you put the sciences in service of understanding Torah. That's like putting in legs as the pedestal to support the body, which is led by the head. Right, the legs already not led by the head. They could run automatically. That's why they're called outside of the body, because when you do only conscious movement, that ends at the legs. The legs, that goes without thinking. That's hergel. Right? All these things are from, you know, and, you know, really, when you take a look at the laws of nature, right? The laws of nature are all legs, in the sense that nature runs out of habit. What I mean to say, the Gemara says that Hayam min adin, if a person would steal seeds and plant them, the world should, you know, the earth should refuse to grow those seeds. They should refuse. Ela olam kamin hago noheg. Vosam shotum shekilkasidem. Olam kamin hago noheg. The world just follows a dead, unthinking program. Right? Unthinking program. But the Rakhshu will get even with the Rishayim. Right? The laws of nature. Right, the laws of nature are really raglaim. It's just that the laws of nature function out of habit. They don't discriminate. They'll make the sun shine on Tzaddik in Russia alike. They will grow stolen seeds for the guy who stole them. And it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get even with the guy. Right, the ground's not going to refuse to grow stolen property. Right, and that's what the Greeks were able to analyze the physical world. But the physical world is all legs. Right, and the cosmic whole, right, the gashmias are the legs, the pedestal that the ruchnias is on top of. Right, but they want to say that's all, and that's why they defiled the Beis Hamidrash. They were misnagged to the Aliyah L'Regel, right, because the Jews go to the Beis Hamidrash to make the statement that there's something more than the marketplace. Right, there are things that are more valuable than what you can move in the market. Their culture, it's valuable because there's a market for it. There's a market for it, right? And that's why, you know, there's the illusion that these things are valuable because there are people willing to pay for it, right? And Amishul goes to Beis Hamidrash to make the statement that all that, you know, it's only good for survival, right? But real standing, real chashivas is to be in front of the Shechina, right? It's a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Aliyah L'Rego. And that's why they wanted to defile the Beis Hamikdash, to make a statement against Aliyah L'Rego. There's nothing more there that there isn't outside, right? And I would say that, you know, what we consider chashivas, that gives status, standing. That's why it's an amazing halacha. We say we have to do modim, right? To bow by modim as a tikkun for the Nachash. The Nachash got us to say, Visam Kelohim, Yodei Tov V'ra. You could be your own God. You don't need it. No. So we have to submit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We bow by modim. Right? Make a statement that, no, our chashiva says, you know, we're bottom of votel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's man's chashivas, that he serves God, not that he... So you have the right to stand up again after you bow. Amazing halacha, right? That the Mishnah says in Midas that the Yevonim made 13 breaches into the Beis HaMikdash. And we said they were making those breaches to make a statement, our stuff that makes choshev, that's what is just as good as that stuff in there. And so they breached and they breached in. So when the Chashmonaim resealed those 13 breaches, they made an interesting halacha that now you can understand. Whenever you face one of those breaches that was previously breached by Yavan, you bow. Same thing, just like bowing in Modin. Because they were trying to say, they broke in to say that what we think makes a person important, you know, the culture, right, that gives a person standing, right, that's just as choshev as the omdos hayu raglein visharach Yerushalayim. So whenever you see their breach, you bow. Right? No. The human culture is to submit, you know, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The submit before that the halacha that they were metakin to bow by the breaches of Yavan is mamish parallel to the din of what they were metakin to bow by Modin. This for what the Nachash was saying, Visan Kelohim, you're choshev in your own right, you don't need God. And the Yavarim were making the same statement. Right? The Yavarim were a kemshech of, you know, the of your vata teshufenu. Okay. Right? And that's the challenge we have to realize. You know, our greatest enemy is habit. Hergel. Right? We go about life not thinking. We just go through life habitually, and that's our greatest enemy, and that's our greatest stumbling block, and that's what it means, you know. From the time, since the beginning of time, Vata Teshufenu Akev, Vatika Kaf Yerach Yaakov, Hani Birkid Darabanda Shalhi Minayahu, right? They get us in the legs. The legs representing how we go through life out of habit, without really thinking what's really, really important. We just follow the crowd. Follow the crowd. Legs, just follow the crowd. All right. Run where everyone else is running. They wanted the Kotzker Rebbe to leave his seclusion to see the locomotive. They thought it would be healthy for him. He was, you know, last year, decades of his life, he locked himself in a room. They wanted him to get out. So there's this new thing, this locomotive. So what's a locomotive? It has the whole thing. It's a steam engine. You know, what do you use it for? Right? Well, you can get places very fast. Where's everyone running to? Where is everyone running to, right? So now the pasuk says, and with this we'll wrap it up. The pasuk says, "Ner l'ragli dvorecha v'or l'nesivasi." It's a pasuk until Kuf Yud Tes, right? Your words are a candle to my legs. Ner l'ragli. Right? Sound familiar? Ner l'ragli. Achitechu, Ner Chanukah's Achitech L'Rega. Ner L'Ragli Dvarecha V'Orlin Sivasi. It's the candle to my legs and the light to my path. Right? Ner L'Ragli Dvarecha V'Orlin Sivasi.
Which psalm is it?
Kuf Yud Tes, 119. It's one we have like...
the whole
Aleph Beis multiple times. So it's Ois Nun, that's right. Correct. Right? So now... This should remind you. Ner l'gavon mitzvah should immediately, you should think of another pasuk. Ner mitzvah v'torah or. Ner mitzvah v'torah or. Right, a mitzvah is a candle, right, and Torah is light, right. So now on that pasuk, ner mitzvah v'torah or. Right. So on that, right, it's already in the Medrash, but the Gaon says in his Pirush on Mishlei, ner mitzvah is Torah shebaal peh. And Torah or is Torah Shebichsav. Right? So now and from that, by the way, is one of the many sources about you at night when we have a candle, right? That's you learn Torah Shebichsav by night, you learn Torah Shebichsav by day. The Arizal is very makbid on that, you know, that not to learn Mikra, Torah Shebichsav at night. Now is the time for Torah Shebaal Peh. It's called a candle. That's how Moshe Ben also knew, the Chazal say. How you knew it was in Shemayim 40 days and 40 nights? It was where the sun don't shine, right? How do you know? He counted how many times a Kodesh Baruch Hu alternated from Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. So he counted, he alternated 40 times, and it was 40 days and 40 nights. So Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. So now the mitzvah, it's Ner Mitzvah. What do we need mitzvahs for? What do we need mitzvahs for? We need mitzvahs for to correct the world. Utter Marishan only had 6 mitzvahs. He didn't have the mitzvah of Abraham Chai, because whatever, it's... I guess the fruit tasted better back then. You didn't need meat, right? So they had 6 mitzvahs, and that was enough. Because, you know, as the Arizal explains, you know, the more corrupt the world became, the more mitzvahs that were necessary to set it right. Right? And that's why, you know, we're almost done. That's why, it's okay, we're almost done, really. We're wrapping it up, we're really. Yeah, and that's why mitzvahs betelot lasid lavo. Chazal say in the future there's no more mitzvahs, right? Because if it ain't broke, don't fix. If there's nothing to fix, you know, all the mitzvahs are there to fix and uproot everything that's wrong with the world, you know. And like for just a simple example, it's not going to be a mitzvah to kill Amalek anymore if Amalek's dead, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix. It's just like you understand it by the mitzvah to kill out Amalek, you know, when he's gone. There's not going to be a mitzvah to kill him out anymore because he's dead already. There's nothing more to do. All the mitzvahs are that way. The job will be done. The job will be done. And then that's in Olam Habo. There's no Hayom La'Sasim Machla Kabel Scharam because there's no more work to do. That's why it's time for Kibbutz Schar because there's no more work. Right? That's why it's time to get paid because the work is done. Right? So the mitzvahs are all, you know, you know, to put things right that need fixing. Now, if there's something wrong with the world, right, that needs fixing, then, so that's where you have also your stumbling block. You either succeed and you correct what's wrong, or the challenge overcomes. Either you beat the challenge or the challenge overcomes you. Right, that's, you know, the struggle between the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara wants you to fall into the trap, and, you know, the Yetzer Tov wants you to overcome. Right? And that's where the mitzvahs are. The mitzvahs are in that playing field where there's either what to stumble on or either stumble or overcome. Stumble or overcome. And that's like the legs. Right? The legs. You can either trip or you could successfully get to where you need to go. That's why Jewish law is called halacha. Lashon halicha. Halicha. It's not good where we are right now. We're stuck in Olam Hazeh in a corrupt world, and we have to. It's a prosdor lo Olam Haba. It's a walkway. Hallway. We've got to walk. We've got to get to a better place. We've got to get to a better place. Right? And, you know, and if you're trying to. So now, get, you know, if you want to get to a better place, there's two things, right? There's having a sense of direction, where the better place is, right? But the sense of direction is not enough, you know, because, you know, you could have like a beacon in the distance and, you know, but you also have to see where you're walking so you don't, well, step on a mine. Don't step in a pit, right? The Torah Shebechsav, it's called generally Torah Or, lights up the path. And that's why V'or L'Nesivasi. So if Torah is Torah Shebechsav for sure gives us the direction. You know, low signal, low sinaf, low sirtzach. Oh, got the general direction, right? Right, we got the oral and the sivasi, the light of the path. You know, you got to go in that direction, but you need the details. Without the detailed halacha, you stumble. The Greeks figured out the general kivun, right? As our rishonim have written in their Musar Sforim, right? The advantage of having halacha with all its details, all its a myriad of details, right? Because the Greeks may have figured out ethics both in klali, right? But the difference between us and them is in the details, right? We know exactly when it's called self-defense, when exactly it's not called murder, right? They know in general you can't murder, but you can kill in self-defense, but, you know, where does this end and the other one begin? They don't have the gift of halacha is in the details, not just in the general kivun. The Torah Shebechsav gave us the general kivun, right? But the difference is in the details, the ner l'ragli, how to walk. So it says the Malbim on the spot, you have the candle, so you have the beacon of this, that's the Or L'Nesivasi, that's the Torah Shebechsav, gives us the general kivun, but you have the candle to see where you're putting your foot down. And that's the end of the details of the Torah Shebaal Peh, that gave us all the details of halacha, how to walk. They only figured out the general kivun. Whether they figured out themselves or they stole it from us. You know, people don't realize, you know, why is Hanukkah and the other one, you know, the guy, you know, whatever, chimney. Why, you know, right? Why all this comes out together? It's not a coincidence. Right? Because there's also a fast day that comes out right after Hanukkah, to Asar B'Tevis. Mm-hmm. You know which one historically happened first? Asura B'Tevis historically happened first. It happened under the Egyptian Greeks. You know, the after Alexander, you know, the Greek Empire split, there were the Egyptian Greeks and there were the Syrian Greeks, right? Mm-hmm. Right. The story of Tammy HaMelech happened before the story of Hanukkah, right? About 50, 60 years earlier, that whole Maisa, right? That the Torah was stolen from us. They stole the Torah Shebichsav. And we suffer so much. That was the basis for Christianity. That was the basis for Islam. The Christians, they used the Septuagint. They used the Targum HaShivim. You know, that we had so much tzoros from how the Torah got out there, you know, and was therefore misused and warped. Right? The story of Asura B'Tevis happened first. Right? That, you know, they had not just whatever they figured out philosophically, they had our Torah Shebichsav also. But they didn't have our Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? And that's what the Ner Mitzvah represents. That's why Chanukah is a Chag of Torah Shebaal Peh. There's no Megillas Chanukah. It's a Chag Kulo of Torah Shebaal Peh. No, it's nothing in it of the scriptures. It's the power of Torah Shebaal Peh, the power of the candle. Right? Where exactly to put your foot down. Right? They may have the general direction, and they think that that's enough, and it's not. We say that the general direction is by far not enough. You have to know how to take every single footstep. And for that, you need a candle to light up, you know, the path, you know, the step right in front of you, the very next step, where to put your foot. And that's what you need the halacha for, the deal, and the Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? That is the candle, you know, to light up the legs. Right? Candle light up, you know, light the path for to take the next step. The Torah Shebichsav gives you the general direction. That's great, but you need the halacha for every next step the foot takes. Without the Torah Shebaal Peh, you'll be nichshol. You will fall if you know the general direction. Right? That's what really saves the leg from stumbling. Is that all the detailed halachas of the Torah Shebaal Peh that are explained in the Torah Shebaal Peh? That's the candle for the leg. So in Mela, you know, you stand now going full circle. Mishatishke chama ad shetichle rego min hashuk. The Ner Chanukah is making a statement, you know, that they broke into the Beis HaMikdash, right, and want to say what's in the marketplace makes a complete man. Career makes a complete man. If you have a good career, right, and you have whatever's marketable, right, you're already a complete person. You don't need more than that. And they broke into the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Makom of Aliyah L'Regel, to make a statement to get out of the marketplace, to raise up the legs of Mar. They broke in there to make a statement. This is good enough. You don't need more than that. You know what Chazal did? They took the Beis HaMikdash to the marketplace. Right? You know, every Jewish home is going to be an embassy to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to send light. Right? Right, they broke into the Beis HaMikdash. We'll bring the Beis HaMikdash to the marketplace, and the Ner Mitzvah, right, the Or of Torah Shebaal, the Ner L'Ragli Dvarecha, will shine in the marketplace. Right, make a statement. Right, then no. This is what makes a man. This is what makes a real tzaddik. This is what makes a complete human being. Not the marketplace, because you know why? In the marketplace, there's no heads in the marketplace, only legs. Right, and that's it. That's, you know, a person's really defiling his intelligence that was meant to. You know, think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The Rambam writes in so many places that the whole function of man having intelligence was purely to have your mind on God all the time. And either he writes in the Mar Nevuchim that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah of Talmud Torah and a mitzvah of Tefillah is to train us to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There should be a residual effect after you do your learning and you also daven with Kavana, never, you know, losing sight of who you're davening to, that there'll be a residual effect throughout the day, never taking your mind off God. Right, and we put our minds in our legs, right, in the rat race. That's a defiling of the human intelligence, head in service of legs. Right? And the statement of Ner Chanukah is they broke into the Beis HaMikdash to say that this stuff is enough to make a complete man. We bring the Beis HaMikdash to the marketplace. And the Ner Chanukah shines, ad shetichle rego min hashuk. Absolutely, that's right. So that's outside. Right? Brought the fight to them, right? The opposite of they broke in, you know, we bring the Or of the menorah, which represents Torah Shebaal Peh, out, right? And it shines in the marketplace, so that, you know, the Or HaTorah, that's what makes an enlightened human being, right? V'choshech zu yovan, Chazal Darshan, right? You know, tov avo choshech is yovan. What you call enlightenment, that's all darkness. The real light is the Ner Mitzvah, of the, and it's the Tarsha Baal Peh. You stole our Tarsha B'Chasav, but the real light is in the Tarsha Baal Peh. Lo nechrasa bris el al dvar b'shabal peh. Gemara says, right, our real covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Tvekasim, is in the Tarsha Baal Peh. The real light, which you can never access. You could steal our, you could buy in Barnes & Noble a Bible, right? But you can't get our Tarsha Baal Peh. Right, our scrolls, that's not Tarsha Baal Peh. Right, you can't get our Tarsha Baal Peh. Right, real Tarsha Baal Peh is only by us in Knesset Yisrael. Right, and we shine it out and make it at Shetichla Regular Shuk, you know, till there are no more legs in the marketplace. There are no human beings there, only legs. Only legs. Head in service of legs. And that's the statement that Ner Chanukah makes, that it's the Or HaTorah that is the only way to know how to walk through life and not stumble, and that's what makes a man. Thank you very much.